Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to see everyone here. I so look forward to this time that I get to gather together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and worship God in a united way. Now, I can pray to God all on my own, and I can sing to Him, and I can read His Word, but when I get together with you guys to do that, it just amplifies everything. It helps me. And you help God hear my voice and my pleas and my requests and my praise, and I want to thank you for that, and I want to encourage you to just come together with us every time we do this, and you'll be benefited greatly for it. Thank you so much for being here. I would encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We've been studying Proverbs quite a bit here lately. We're going to continue to do that today, this morning, and this evening, I should say. Proverbs chapter 18, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. I want to start out this morning by playing a little game. Does anybody remember the old show? Some of us will. It's called What's My Line? Some of us older folks remember that. It was from the 50s and 60s. And those of you who are not aware of that, maybe they have a modern version of this. They probably do. I'm not aware of where there would be this mystery guest, this mystery panelist. And there would be a panel of celebrity guests trying to guess what this person's occupation was. And they would ask all kind of clues from this guy, and he would give those clues, and eventually somebody might guess what it was he did for a living or who he was. That's what I want us to do this morning. I'm going to give you a profile of a person or a type of person. I want to see if you can guess who I'm talking about, what kind of person I'm talking about. All right, here we go. I whisper in the ear. I call on the telephone. I always have just information of the greatest interest that you're going to want to hear. I'm more than willing to share this news with you. And with just a few juicy words, I can make your eyebrows raise. I can make you sit up straight in your chair. I can really call you to attention, maybe get those wheels turning in your head. I mean no harm at all, of course. I just as innocent as I can be. And I'm not making this up. I'm just repeating what I've heard. So don't quote me on what I'm about to tell you. But once I get your attention, once you're listening, when I have your ear, what I do is I betray someone's trust. I smear someone's name. I dish out dirt. I air their dirty laundry out. I dig up dirt and I sow the seeds of discord and strife. I make people look foolish. I hurt their feelings. I separate the closest of friends. I trash people's good names. And look, they're defenseless to do anything about it. They are not there, so they have no chance to speak for themselves, possibly defend themselves, maybe clear the air of any misunderstandings. But the whole time I'm telling you these things, I just want you to know I'm really their friend, and I really love them, and I only have their best interests at heart. Can you guess who I am? I'm the gossip. That's absolutely right. And that's what we're going to read about this morning, the gossip. Who they are, what they do, or gossip, what it is and the harm it does. In Proverbs chapter 18, we're going to start in verses 6 through 8. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Gossip. Gossip is rumor or a report of an intimate nature. And a gossip is a person who habitually reveals this type of information, this personal information, these sensational facts. The sister words in the Old Testament for gossip are slanderer or talebearer, or like we just read there in Proverbs chapter 18, whisperer, the same as a gossip when you see that word whisperer, one who spreads harmful rumors. One of the definitions of gossip, the verb gossip, to gossip, is to run about tattling, kind of like a child might do when they see their brother or sister do something they know they shouldn't be doing. It's really just glorified mudslinging is what gossip is all about. And as much as we might disapprove of the gossip and of what the information is all about that they are disseminating, verse 8 says in Proverbs 18, the words of a gossip are like dainty morsels. They're just the choicest of fare, the tastiest of food. They go down into the innermost parts of the body, it says. We eat them up. Whether we like to admit it or not, most people just find gossip very appealing, very appetizing. Gossip is like a big old T-bone steak with a loaded baked potato. It just tastes so good, so yummy, so scrumptious. It's like a double fudge sundae. Those dainty morsels, those little bits of information, they're just like the best dessert covered with whipped cream and with cherries on top. They're like a smorgasbord at your favorite restaurant, at your favorite buffet, where you can just go and just eat all you want, as much as you want. And we like to do that. It seems that people can't get enough of that kind of thing. There's a reason why God warns us so many times and in so many ways about gossip in the Bible. There's a reason He does that. And it's because so very few of us are immune to its enticements. It's just alluring to most people. And even though it tastes so very good to us, even though it's so yummy, it always gets us in trouble. It always hurts so bad. Those dainty morsels they talk about in Proverbs chapter 18 about the words of a gossip, they're like candy to our ears. But we all know what happens if we eat too much candy, right? We all know sweet stuff. It's just not good for us. It makes us feel bad. It makes our bellies hurt. And that's the way it is with gossip. When we take that stuff in, when we ingest that, it always brings pain. It always brings a heartache, if not a bellyache, and it always causes trouble for other people. We read in verse 7 of Proverbs 18, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul." And that's true with anybody who uses their mouths, their tongues, their words foolishly. But that's especially true with a gossip. And it's even worse with a gossip, because a gossip's mouth, he ruins the life of other people. He causes ruin in other people's lives. A gossip's lips are a snare for other people's souls as well as his own. So a gossip is just something that we want to not be. I've heard one man put it this way: a gossip is the devil's postman. The gossip is always delivering the devil's dirt, never accomplishing one good thing for God, never accomplishing one good thing for good, but for evil, for Satan, and furthering his purposes. I want to help us today defeat this enemy, gossip. I want to help us overcome that tendency to do it, and that tendency to listen to it, and that tendency to embrace it. And look, as always, as I'm preaching this sermon this morning, I'm preaching it right to myself. As I was studying these verses, I was applying them to myself, because I know I have a tendency to fall for this kind of entrapment as much as anybody does. But let's look at Proverbs 16, verses 27 through 28. Let's kind of look into the damage that takes place when we commit this sin. Let's look at the damage that we cause in our lives and other people's lives when we commit this sin. Proverbs chapter 16, starting in verse 28. We read there, A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like a scorching fire. Verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. I want you to think about what's going on here. It says an ungodly man digs up evil. Your version of the Bible may say hunts for scandal. You ever known anybody like that who just was out looking for the latest scandal just to reveal the latest bit of news, dirt, garbage about someone else that maybe they've committed in their lives? The person who comes to my mind may be the tabloid reporter. You ever seen those tabloid magazines where those guys are always hunting for a scandal? They're trying to dig up dirt. And they're always trying to make a celebrity just look terrible. They want to smear a celebrity's name and paint them in the worst possible light. And let's be honest about it. Most celebrities make that awfully easy on the tabloid journalists or those paparazzi. That's it. Those kind of fellows. They make it so easy on them. But you ever see those pictures? They always stand there on the beach with very little clothing on, and they're overweight when they were normally in great shape, or their face is all puffy. They look like they just woke up or just got off of a drunken binge or a drug binge or something like that. And they would just love to nail them on the spot and get those pictures, but they are more than willing to dig up the past if they have to, these slanderers, these scandal hunters. And I know that it's terrible when that kind of thing happens to a celebrity, even though we might not be too fond of some of these people because of their reputations. But look, it's even worse when it happens to a brother and sister in Christ, and when we do that to them. Do you know where most things that have happened in the past should remain? They should remain dead and buried, just like they were when we dug them up, especially when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever done something in your life, in your past, that you're just really ashamed of? Anybody ever done that? Just as soon never think about that again, just as soon never even have that brought up ever again in your life? Every now and then, though, that old painful memory, it'll get dug up, won't it? It'll resurface, it'll rear its ugly head. I kind of look at that as a messenger from Satan. And that's the way it is. Whatever reminds me of that, it's Satan, and he's trying to make me remember the kind of person I used to be before I came to Christ. You're just useless. Remember how you used to be? Or he's trying to make me remember some sinful thing I did even after I came to Christ. And all he wants to do is dig up that dirt so he can rub my face in it. Satan is the greatest dirt digger of all time, and that's all he wants to do. He just wants to rub our face in the dirt and make us feel terrible so we'll be useless for God. Well, let me ask you this. Why would we want to do that to our brothers and sisters in Christ? It's bad enough when the devil does that kind of thing. It's even more hideous when we do that to the people that we're supposed to love more than anybody on this earth. It says a worthless man digs up evil. It's just worthless. It's sinful. It's the devil's work, and we should want no part of that. The only thing that we can accomplish when we're digging up dirt and dishing it out to other people, reporting things of a scandalous nature, the only thing that we accomplish is we hurt people when we do that. We all mess up royally sometimes, don't we? I know I do. And when we repent of that sin and make it right with God, shouldn't that be the end of it? Shouldn't that be where it all ends? You know who will never dig up an old sin on you? You know who will never bring up an old mistake that you've made in your life? You know who will never do a thing like that? God. He will never do that for you. What does the famous Psalm say? Psalm 103 and verse 12. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so He has removed our sins or our iniquities, our transgressions from us. When God forgives us, He forgets it. He buries it. It's dead. It's done away with forever. Do we know better than God? If God wouldn't dig up a thing like that, why would we even consider doing a thing like that? We read also in that passage, Proverbs 16 and verse 27, that His words, the words of that worthless man, is like a scorching fire. The New King James says, it is on his lips like a scorching fire. The person who is a gossip, who wants to dig up scandal and report it, he can't wait to spit out that fire. He can't wait to torch the subject of the person he's talking about. Our job should be to keep that fire out, to put it out, to douse those flames. We shouldn't be interested in scorching our brothers and sisters in Christ with our words. You know that? That's the last thing in this world we should want to do. We should be in the business of building each other up. And then in verse 28 it says, a perverse man spreads strife. I like another version says he sows, the New King James again, he sows strife. You think about it. First he digs it up. A worthless man digs up evil, and then he sows it. Then he sows those seeds of discord. Look, I'm not going to go to the trouble to dig it up if I'm not going to be willing to plant it somewhere else, right? You know who hates strife and discord among brothers and sisters in Christ more than anybody else in this world? Of course he does. Of course that is God. Proverbs chapter 6, we know the passage. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, we've read it many times. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Now we know that God hates all sins, but He has pointed out to us seven sins of a particular nasty nature that He doesn't care for. Probably because of the earthly consequences of these things and the damage that it causes. And we talked about this morning how they are gateway sins that lead to other sins. But it all culminates with the one who spreads strife among brethren. It all culminates with that one sin. That terrible, despicable sin in the eyes of God. Even if what we're saying about someone is true, if we're talking about a brother or sister in Christ, listen, if it causes strife, if it causes dissension, if it causes discord, it's just sinful. It's just destructive. I think a lot of times we'll justify talking badly about a brother or sister in Christ because maybe it's true what we're saying. It really is irrelevant whether it's true or false. If it's bringing pain and hardship and problems to the family in Christ, we need to avoid it at all costs. Now, I think about it, one of the definitions of a gossip, we said that earlier, is a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. If it's damaging, if it's harmful, we need to keep it to ourselves. Because all that does is it just causes pain. No good is ever going to come from just revealing personal information, which is really what we do when we do that. Sensational stuff. It just hurts the speaker, the one revealing it. It hurts the one that's listening. It hurts the one that's being talked about. It destroys friendships. And we can do so much damage with just a few careless words when we gossip. Well, why do people gossip? I can think of several reasons why that may be the case, why some people do that. I think it's important maybe to explore this a little bit. So if we can recognize why we might do it, maybe we can stop ourselves from doing it. We can recognize it when we feel the need to do it. I think there are a few reasons here why people gossip. For one thing, it might make us feel better about ourselves if we're running somebody else down. Have you ever gotten very down on yourself, maybe hit a low point in your life, and you just can't find any way to pick yourself up and lift yourself up and make yourself feel better? We got to be careful. We might want to run down other people at that time just to make ourselves appear better in our eyes. Yeah, well, I'm down here, but I'm not nearly as bad as so-and-so. I'm not nearly as bad as brother or sister so-and-so. Look what he's done. Look what mess he's caused in his life. And we got to be careful not to play that comparison, contrasting game. And if we're paying attention to that, we may not have a tendency to do that. Sometimes we gossip just because we're not thinking clearly, right? We speak sometimes before we think. We shoot sometimes without aiming. And that happens to all of us sometimes. We just get carried away with our words and we say things we ought not to. We try to be more careful. With some people, this sin of gossip, it's just their greatest weakness. Did you know that? Some people have a particularly difficult time controlling their tongues. We all have those sins in our lives that are particularly irksome to us, that we just struggle with, have the hardest time putting away once and for all. For some people, it's just gossip. And what we need to learn from that is, if that's your sin, you really need to work on it and do your best to understand that a problem exists and put up a fight against it. And for the rest of us, we have to understand we need to be patient with these brethren who are struggling with that sin just as much as we have to be patient with the people who struggle with language, or maybe they have an alcohol problem or any other type of problem. We need to try to help these brethren and not just isolate them as well and make them feel useless and worthless. But many times it just boils down to this one reason why people gossip. A lot of times gossip is just the product of idle hands and idle minds. Did you know that? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul talked about some people who just had too much time on their hands and the result of that. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "At the same time, they learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." When we have nothing better to do with our time, one of the things that is going to be the easiest things to do, the thing we might gravitate toward, is just talk, talk, talk. It's easy to talk, isn't it? Anybody can do that. Just start sharing gossip with people. Just start dishing out the dirt. We've nothing better to do with our times. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. You've heard that statement said before, haven't you? And that's absolutely true. When we get to a point like that in our lives, you know what we need to do? We just need to get busy. We need to get to work. We need to start getting busy with the Lord's business. And we're not going to have time for a lot of he said, she said stuff if we're out there trying to help people with their problems, if we're out there trying to work for a living, if we're out there trying to teach people the gospel, invite people to church, if we're trying to do good things for people, we're not going to have time to talk bad about people. We're just going to be worried about helping people and helping God at the same time. Those might be some of the reasons. Maybe you can think of some others why people are prone to gossip. Whatever the reason, we need to intercept that when we recognize what's going on and try to do something about it. The biggest question really is, and the one that needs the answer the most is, what's the cure for gossip? What's the remedy? What can we do to make this problem go away? Don't I wish I knew the answer to that one? Then so many problems would be solved and we wouldn't have to be having sermons like this from time to time. Even though I don't know an absolute surefire way to do away with this problem, because it's just one, once again, that rears its head every now and then for people, myself included, I do know some things that will help. Let's consider these helpful tips. Sometimes we just need to overlook an issue that a brother or sister in Christ is having. Does that sound extreme or ridiculous or not appropriate? I'm not saying that we should just close our eyes to sin. But don't you think people just need a break sometimes if they've messed up? We read in Proverbs 17 and verse 9, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." You think about that. He who conceals a transgression, he seeks love. He's just looking out for the best interest of someone else. A person doesn't need to be called to task for every infraction they've made in their life, do they? If every time you've messed up in your life, if you're called to task on that, if somebody gives you a hard way to go, what would your life be like? Wouldn't you just always be in a heap of trouble that way? Don't we all just need a break sometimes? Don't we all blow it from time to time and we'd rather just deal with that privately and not have it aired out publicly for everybody to hear? We have to let people deal with the sins that plague their life privately sometimes. Most of the time, we need to help them for sure, especially if they want our help. Repeating the matter, though, just revealing what's going on, just telling everybody what they're struggling with, that doesn't help. It doesn't help when you do a thing like that. It always hurts. So, it turns people against them. It separates those closest friends. It divides congregations. It discourages everybody. So the best thing we can do is just let them work it out. Help them if you can, if they're willing to let you in their circle of intimacy. But if they're not willing to, allow them time to take care of it on their own. Because look, quite often, people are more than capable of punishing themselves for the wrong they do in their life. Aren't you like that? Don't you just beat yourself up sometimes for the things that you do? We don't need help most of the time when it comes to a thing like that. We're very capable of punishing ourselves. There does come a time when sin needs to be brought out into the open, into the light of day, so it can be dealt with. Don't get me wrong. Those times do come. Even there comes times when it should be brought before the congregation. If there's no remorse in the person who's sinning, if there's no repentance, if there is repetition of this sin over and over and over again, if the potential exists for it to be damaging to the congregation, it even needs to be brought before them sometimes. But just telling people about what brother so-and-so did or about what sister so-and-so did the other day, it's just sinful and it's not loving. Once again, he who conceals a transgression seeks love. Are we interested in helping our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we really love them? Then we need to be thinking about giving them a break sometimes and help protecting them from the sins that plague them. Don't run somebody's name through the gossip mill. That'll never help a person. Second pointer to help us with this problem is really a simple one, and one that we don't think about enough or employ often enough, is just don't listen to gossip. Without listeners, can there really be any gossips? Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a slanderer," it's another word for a gossiper, or a gossip, "he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." It usually becomes obvious pretty quickly in the course of a conversation that someone's just running somebody else down, doesn't it? When you're talking to somebody, you know the language. Hey, I don't repeat gossip, so you better listen closely the first time. Or, man, you're not going to believe what I heard about old brother so-and-so yesterday. This is just going to blow your mind. The signs are there. We can usually tell when it's going to boil down to that, just running people's name through the dirt. When you see that, when you hear that, it's just time at that point to say, look, I would rather just not talk about Brother Bob this way, if you don't mind. I'd just soon not gossip about him. If he's done something that he needs our help with, let's help him. But we shouldn't just sit around trashing him. I mean, we really need to be able to tell people these types of things in tactful ways so they can stop the gossip. We need to tell people, look, maybe Brother Bob did what you're talking about, but if he's repented of that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's forgiven. Doesn't he need our forgiveness as well? Or maybe we need to tell them, if he's done these things, then, you know, and you know about it, maybe you need to go to him and talk about it personally instead of running around to other people. Maybe it's best, if you have a problem with him, really to just go talk to him. Maybe you can clear the air. Maybe he can let you know that what you've heard is not true, or that it is true, but I've taken care of that. We've talked about this concept before. If a tree falls in the forest with no one there to hear it, does it really make a sound? Can't we make the same question, make the same application with a gossiper? If a gossip gossips and no one's there to hear it, does he really gossip? Does he really make a sound? Does he really cause any damage? If we don't give ear to the dirt of a gossip, then no damage and harm can be done. Look, we're in the construction business. We're in the business of lifting and building one another up in Christ Jesus, not tearing each other down. And we need to be careful about that. And finally, and this one is so easy to say and so difficult to put into practice, we need to start practicing tongue control. If you're anything like me, you're going to need help with that. I mean, I will ask you straight up right now, please help me. If I'm in your company sometime and I'm saying something that's not appropriate, if I'm talking about somebody and I'm running them down, tell me about it. Stop me. Sometimes I do that and I'm not even thinking. And you're going to be my friend if you do that. And we talked about this morning. If you rebuke a wise man, he's going to love you for it. I hope I'm a wise man. And I may not love you at the moment you tell me, but later I'm going to come to understand that I don't need to be doing that. And listen, ask for God's help. Pray to God. Father, look, I know I have this weakness. I know I have this problem. I have a tough time controlling my tongue. Will you please help me do that? Let me ask you, do you think if you requested your Father, if you made a request like this to Him, a petition, do you think He's going to turn you down? Do you think He'd say, no, you're just going to have to suffer with that and deal with that on your own? Of course not. He's going to be more than willing and more than able to help you with your problem. Once again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should ignore sin. But listen, if a brother is caught up in a sin, we who are spiritual should try to restore such a brother. And it says that in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. In the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, that we not be tempted as well. We're to help them. We're to try to go to him and be there at his side to help him overcome his problem. Or go to someone else who can help. But not run and tattle to everybody. Remember we talked about that one definition of gossip? It's just to run about tattling. We should be adults about this and consider the ramifications of our actions. And often, quite often, the gossip that goes around among certain circles in the brotherhood, it's about things that have happened just months and years ago. The same old dirt just circulates over and over and over again. And that's not a good thing. We need to have mercy on a brother or sister in Christ for their past mistakes. No matter how big the mistakes are. I know some people might be thinking, yeah, but you don't know what a mess Sister So-and-so caused when she did what she did. When she was over at that other congregation, man, she had people crying and just confused. And, well, I know he messed up and he might have thought he made it right with God, but he didn't go apologize to Brother So-and-so specifically. He didn't go over to Elder So-and-so's house and tell him how sorry he was. If they say they repented and have done the best they can to make it right, isn't it our job to take that brother or sister's word for it? And say, look, he's done his best to repent and turn his life around. The greater the consequences of a brother or sister's sins, the bigger heart it's just going to take on our part to forgive them. More times than not, when I've sinned, I don't need you to beat me up. Because I'm really astute at doing that myself. I punish myself so greatly, sometimes too long. I have a hard time forgiving myself. When I've messed up, why don't you just do me a favor and help me forgive myself and forgive me and help me to move on with it? I don't need ridicule at a time like that. I don't need judgment. I don't need chastisement. You know what I need when I have sinned and I have tried my best to make it right? I need mercy. I need forgiveness. And most of all, you know what I need? I need love. I want you to seek love. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. Sometimes that's the best thing we can do for a person. It's just help them keep those kind of things under wraps. Let's not blow today's lesson off as if it's no big deal, or if it doesn't, that it, like it doesn't apply to me. Let's not blow it off as everybody does it, and it's just one of those things. Read with me, will you, in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, the consequences of this sin, how serious of a nature this sin is, and how God looks at gossip. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, did you notice the list of sins that gossip and slander were grouped together there with? Wickedness, murder, haters of God, inventors of evil. That's a pretty nasty list of sins there, and gossip is right there in the middle of them. And look at the consequences again in verse 32. Those who practice such things are worthy of death. See how God views gossip? It is a sin punishable by death, by execution in His eyes. And listen, not only do they do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Even if we're not doing it, if we're listening to it, you know what we're doing? We're giving hearty approval to those who practice it. So we need to really be careful about this sin of gossip. Don't you know some people who really take pride in being a gossip? People who are really proud of being the neighborhood dirt slinger. They just love to go from door to door and tell people the latest dirt on the neighbor or at work. You ever met anybody at work like that? Just couldn't wait to tell you what your coworker did that weekend or what have you. And, you know, those tabloid magazines we talked about and the radio programs and the TV shows, just everybody airing out their dirty laundry, revealing those secrets that I'd just soon not hear about. Let the world have that sleaze. That's their business. They had fun with that. Let them have it. We're better than that, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are people who should be loving others. We love people more than that, than to get involved in a type of thing like that. If we do feel the need to talk about a brother or sister in Christ, you know who you need to be talking to him about? Or you know who you need to be talking to him with? With God. Talk about them on your knees to God. Pray for your brother and sister in Christ if they have been involved in something or they are caught up in something that has brought hardship on their lives. Help them. And there's nothing better you can be doing for someone than to do that. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. I'm going to sing number 84. Give you a chance to obey the gospel this morning. You know, there does come a time in our lives when we feel the need to talk about a brother or sister in Christ to someone else. Maybe we're genuinely concerned about them, but we don't want to feel like we're gossiping. So what can we do? How do we determine that? Once again, I don't know a surefire way to do that, but I can think of three questions you can ask yourself before you go and talk to someone else about a brother to can help you determine if what you're doing is a good thing or a bad thing. First of all, ask if it's true. If the information you've gotten has started out with, "I heard," the chances are you don't know if that's true or not. So try to determine if the thing that has been said is true. And the best thing, way you can do that is really go to the brother and talk to him. And if you need to take someone along, that's fine. But that's the first question you ask. Is what I'm about ready to say true? Once again, we talk about it. Just because it's true doesn't necessarily make it a good thing to say, but that should be a starting point. And then what we need to ask ourselves, is it necessary? Is what the information I'm about to tell someone about someone else, is it really necessary for them to hear? Is it a good thing for them to hear? Should they be knowing this information about that brother? And then thirdly, and this is the most important one, is it beneficial? Is this going to help somebody? Is the information I'm getting ready to tell someone else going to be helpful to them or the person I'm talking about or myself? Really, that third one is the clincher. Let's make sure the things that we're saying to other people about other people are helpful things, and then we can know we're not gossiping about them. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, we stand ready to help you. If you have determined that you're not living your life right, you need to turn from your sins and be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven, we'll do that for you this morning with you. And if you need to just repent from your seats, if you've already made your life right with God with baptism and repentance before, but you've been caught up in another sin, do it. Turn from that. Ask God for forgiveness. He is always willing to take you back if you're willing to turn from your sins. If we can help you, though, pray with you, pray for you, study with you, you come up here and talk to me about what's on your heart as we're standing and singing.